Chapter 3, Section 2, It Was Good. God had begun His creative work. The curtains had been pulled back. As all the angelic host watched, heaven and earth were placed on the stage. With a word, the sovereign God turned on the floodlights. Act 1 was completed. Day 1 was finished. Now, 5 more acts of God's great drama were to follow in the next 5 days of creation.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Isaiah 40:21-22.
The Bible compares the earth to a tent. It's a place to dwell in, the most unique homestead in the universe. But for planet Earth to be a suitable dwelling, major construction needed to be done. We see the angels hush. The curtain goes up on day 2 with the creation of the expanse. The expanse? What is that? Let me explain.
And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. Genesis 1:6-8.
When God created the world, the earth was covered by water. On day 2, some of these waters were separated from the global ocean and placed high above the planet, probably as a vapor, leaving a great space between the upper and lower waters. That space in between is what the Bible calls the expanse. The word expanse is synonymous with the idea of space and can apply to either Earth's atmosphere or deep space. In this case, it applies to what we call the atmosphere. But wait a minute. We have oceans. We have an atmosphere. But we don't have a heavy blanket of water vapor wrapped around the earth. Something doesn't add up. It is true today that we don't have the water above, but God placed it there in the beginning. This water vapor canopy created the greenhouse effect on a grand scale. The entire planet probably had a uniform tropical temperature with only minor seasonal change. There would have been no polar zones as such. With minimal changes in temperature, weather with its great storms would not have existed. The Bible says that the world at this time was watered by a mist. The vapor canopy would also have filtered out harmful ultraviolet and other cosmic rays. As a result, both animals and humans would have had longer lifespans. Yes, things were different back then. Later on, we will see that it all changed, so keep this idea of water above in your mind. The creation of the expanse began and ended the second day. At the beginning of day 3, the water under the expanse still constituted one vast ocean with no visible dry land. Once again, God spoke.
And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Genesis 1:9-13.
Day 3 can be divided into 2 parts. First, we see the dry land appear. Apparently, as the ocean bottom sank, forming huge basins for the water, dry land appeared rising out of the watery depths. Second, we see the creation of plants and trees.
For this is what the Lord says, He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Isaiah 45:18.
From the very beginning, God had been preparing the world to be inhabited, and now plant life was created to provide for our physical needs, food to eat, oxygen to breathe, and wood for building. On the first day of creation, God had drawn back the curtain of darkness when He spoke light into existence. On the fourth day, God created the light givers.
And God said, Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Genesis 1:14-19.
If it seems strange to us that God would create light before He created the sun, we must remember that it is just as easy for God to create the light as it is for Him to create the light givers.
I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens. Isaiah 44:24. God stretched out the heavens by His understanding. Jeremiah 10:12. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. Psalm 104:19.
The sun, moon, and stars reveal that the Master Designer is a God of order. Order is the rule of the universe. It ticks with the precision of an atomic clock, and indeed it is a kind of timekeeper. We write title charts years in advance with a confidence that they will be accurate. We launch satellites, certain that they will rendezvous with distant planets at a precise moment, just as programmed. NASA's Galileo probe traveled 6 years before reaching Jupiter, precisely as scheduled. The whole planet relies on the regularity of the sunrise and sunset. Without that set pattern, nothing would survive. God is a God of order. On the fifth day, God created the whole kaleidoscope of sea life and birds.
And God said, Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Genesis 1:20-23.
The sixth day was the pinnacle of God's creative act. God began the day by creating the land animals.
And God said, Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:24-25.
On day three, we saw that the plants were to produce according to their kind. Then on day five, we are told that the sea life and the birds were to produce according to their kind. Now, on day six, we will see the same about animals. What does it mean when it says, according to their kind. Simply put, it means that cats give birth to cats, dogs to dogs, and elephants to elephants. What a relief! We don't need to worry that when we plant tulip bulbs, cedar trees will sprout. Both the plant and animal kingdoms produce after their kind. There are a few kinds you can cross, such as the donkey and the horse, but when you breed them, you get a mule. Mules are sterile. They cannot propagate mules. That's the way God meant it to be. Today, you can breed various types of dogs together and end up with a whole array of canines, poodles to Great Danes, but they are all still dogs. And they can still reproduce. In the order of things, God allowed for dogs to propagate, but ruled out fertile mules. The Bible says that
God saw that it was good.
You will notice that this phrase appeared a number of times as God was in the process of creation. It's another of those concise statements which is loaded with meaning. When God created, He made things truly good.
As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. Psalm 18:30.
We as humans can never make something flawless. What we produce may be quite acceptable, but it will still have defects. But when God created, He made all things without fault. The Bible says that God Himself is perfect. In other words, He is holy, without blemish.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Isaiah 6:3.
A perfect, holy God could only make a perfect creation. Perfection is part of His character. Creation has changed, as we will see, but in the beginning it was just right. Over and over again, the Bible says, God saw that it was good, perfect. God is a God who cares. For example, God could have created all plants and animals black and white. But instead, He made everything with an endless variety of pigmentation and hues. Not only did He invent color, but also created eyes able to see the color. God ensured that there were plants and animals that were edible, that would taste good. He could have created all food to taste like liver. Some may not mind liver, but we all know people who would have been very disappointed. God not only created endless flavors, but He also provided us with taste buds that could enjoy the fine nuances of a seemingly endless variety of cooking styles. Along with many other things, He gave fragrance to flowers, and He created the nose so it could appreciate the multitude of scents. Everything could have smelled like rotten eggs, but that is not the way God designed it. God could have limited His creation of plant life to just a few kinds. Indeed, a few kinds would have provided for our needs quite adequately. But no, we see an overwhelming variety. It is evident that God is a God who truly cares. The Bible says that He
richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. 1 Timothy 6:17.
Not only did God have all the ability and power to create the boundless variety, but that power was combined with loving concern. He is a God who revealed Himself with acts of kindness in the world about us. God is still impressing mankind with His creation. For centuries, much has been hidden from man's view because of our inability to see and understand it. But then, as we developed electron microscopes, atom smashers, orbiting telescopes, and other technology, we were able to peer into some of those hidden areas. And we have not become bored in our discoveries. Rather, the more we discover, the more fascinated we are, the more impressed we become, and the more we are aware of what we do not know. And yet, it has been there all along, created by an awe-inspiring God. Centuries ago, it was commonly believed that the earth was flat. This thinking never had its origins in the Bible. The Bible uses a word that alludes to the spherical shape of the globe when it states,
He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. Isaiah 40:22.
Some ancients speculated that the earth sat on a strong foundation or was supported by a mythological god. The Bible says God
suspends the earth over nothing. Job 26:7.
Some ask, what about evolution? Where does it fit? The Bible does not mention evolution. The theory of evolution and the biblical account of creation are incompatible. The creation-evolution debate has generated much controversy, couched as a debate between religion and science. But many would argue that the theory of evolution is not science, but a religion of faith in time and chance, and that it falls apart under serious investigation. Indeed, taking a hard look at creation, one finds that it stands the scrutiny of science much better than some would think. It is a look that is well worth taking. Several areas in the biblical account are sometimes thought to be problematic. For example, it is said by some that the earth is very old, but the Bible does not allow for age. In response, one reasonable explanation would be the following. God created a mature earth. Trees were tall and animals were fully grown. Stars were made far away. God created the whole universe with apparent age. Many problems like these are answerable. Some wonder about the dinosaurs. There is no reason to believe that God did not create them along with the rest of the animals. Evidence exists that the dinosaurs lived at the same time as man. The water vapor canopy could have kept the climate stable enough for such large beasts to survive. Later, we will see what might have caused their disappearance. The laws of nature line up with the creationist account very readily. I would encourage you to keep reading and studying before you make up your mind on this part of the story. Don't stop investigating. There are many resources filled with good explanations. Well, there was yet one more step before the sun set on day 6, before God's universe was complete. That step was the creation of man and woman.